Devices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, and with me today, as always, two totally awesome dudes, Skip Hill and S2H. Scott, I want to tell you, we had a comment today. They're wondering if we were going to keep Bob. Have you ever met Bob?
Bob's Big Boy? I think it was a restaurant.
Yeah. Elias Brothers?
I had a girlfriend I called Bob one time. She bobbed a lot, but no.
Out the gate with the dirty bad jokes.
Skip told me to say it.
Bob's Big Boy. You just dated yourself with that reference.
Yeah, I knew you would know.
I didn't even know what that
yeah,
was. What's Bob's Big Boy?
And here comes the young kid. What's Bob's Big Boy?
You guys make me feel so good. I'm 40.
You don't know Bob's Big Boy. You're from Michigan. You don't know Bob's Big Boy.
I know what Big Boy is, like Elias Brothers Big Boy.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. Is that, am I screwing it up, Scott? Bob's Big Boy?
Bob's Big Boy was like Rustler's Steakhouse or, you know, one of those, it was like a larger version of Applebee's or something.
Okay, then it was different than Elias Brothers then, right?
It would have to be.
Okay, Elias Brothers had the kind of like fat guy with the cheesy smile, and he was holding a platter.
Yeah, Big Boy.
Out front, and it was, yeah, that's big. There you go. It is Big Boy. Okay.
I know Big Boy.
Yeah, I would say Cracker Barrel would be more like Bob's Big Boy.
Oh, I don't know. Cracker Barrel is I think, a lot better than Big Boy. Big Boy was just middle of the road.
Yeah.
What burgers and stuff. And Cracker Barrel's a decent breakfast for old people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that
it's for chickers out front.
It's like Perkins with better food and larger portions.
I love going to Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel's good. We only had one in Denver, and it was so far out of the way that I didn't go. But when I go back to Michigan, it's always funny, and the kids know this. The closer we get to Michigan on I-94, there's like a Cracker Barrel every two fucking exits.
Hell yeah. That's the way you roll, man, here.
I know, right? It's like, oh, Dad, I'm hungry. Oh, we should have stopped. I'm like, don't worry about it. There's seven more
before
we get to the Michigan line.
The funny thing is, though, the nearest one to me is like 15 miles away. Like, I can't get there without making like a big trip out of it. I got to get on two different freeways to get to that.
Maybe it's an Indiana, like a northern Indiana, southern Michigan type of, southwest Michigan type thing. I don't know, but there's a ton. And there was only one. I don't even know if there's one out here.
You get one from Detroit, and they're all over the west Michigan for sure.
I'm going to have to check.
Cracker Barrel?
Yeah.
Dude, go to Tennessee. There's like one every exit. Yes. With a Flying J truck stop.
Okay. Yes.
Those Maine blueberry pancakes, I swear that they flash fry them.
Yeah.
They're so freaking awesome.
I wanted to tell y'all, we did a contest this week. And we put this out there on Instagram that if you tag Advices Radio in your Instagram story, you would be entered into a contest. And one lucky winner is going to win an Advices Radio t-shirt. We've got t-shirts in all sizes. We got women's racerbacks in all sizes. And I have men's tank tops in most sizes. I'm starting to run a little low on those. I didn't order a lot of them. I'm not as happy with those as I am with the t-shirts and the racerbacks. Those are my personal favorites, and so that's what I went heavier on. So we're going to do that at the end of the show. See, I'm prepared today, guys. We're going to do that at the end of the show. We're going to do the drawing. We got a great turnout. I've got a ton of names here. It's literally a page full. So I feel like I want to give everybody a t-shirt, and I wish that I could. We're only going to be able to pick one, but we will do a contest again. And if you guys are interested, you can support the network by going to advicesradio.com/shop, and you can buy a shirt there. You should be able to buy it internationally, too. I know I had to add an international charge for shipping. Otherwise, they're $24, and that's with shipping included. You know, high quality, tri-blend blah, 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 all that stuff. Anyway, we did that, and I'm taking shout-outs. The list is actually growing right now, so we'll do shout-outs right before we go to break. And besides that, I just wanted to kind of catch up with you guys. I love talking about pancakes. I love talking about Cracker Barrel. Really, I want to know what's going on with you, Skip, because I know you're dieting still, and I can only imagine, based off of the progression I've been seeing in your pictures, you must be looking even better than 2 weeks ago. Like, you got to be getting close now.
Yeah, I mean, I still have, you know, quite a ways to go, but yeah, things are going well. But you know what they always do early on, so I'm not trying to get too excited. I'm kind of cynical in situations like this because I always think, okay, yeah, everything's been going great, but what's going to happen next week? And I know that's a bad way to look at things,
yeah,
but sometimes it's reality, so I'm just kind of preparing myself because things aren't going to continue to go this smoothly. But yeah, I would say that things are going quite well. You know, I have a lot of the same psychological issues that most competitors do where, oh, okay, I think I look great 1 minute, and then, you know, 15 minutes later, I'm like, oh, shit, I looked better 15 minutes ago, shit like that. But yeah, you know, it's going well. I'm playing around with some things. I catch a lot of grief from some people because they're like, well, why are you messing with stuff? Well, I'm messing with stuff because that's how I learn and that's what I do. So I'm playing around with different things. I'm stretching out skip loads. I'm not doing them weekly. I'm, you know, just kind of on a rotation and training rotation. And so I'm loading every 8 to 9 days this week. I'm actually not going to load until the weekend, which will push it to about 15, 16 days. So I'm just playing around with some things, but I do like how things are. And I'm training in the middle of the night, which is freaking awesome.
Nice.
I'm loving it. My wife bailed on me. She's eating like shit and drinking. And she's just in this phase where sometimes she, and I don't want to give the impression like she's, you know, she's not depressed or anything like that, but she's just done with training right now. And I think it has to do with the prep. She really doesn't like it when I prep. She won't admit it. But she doesn't like it because she doesn't like how 100% and there's no, I'm very rigid. There's no flexibility there and things like that. So
you're a dick. It's a nice way of putting it. You're a dick.
Yeah, basically. No, you know what? I think I'm pretty easy to get along with, but I think at the same time, she just doesn't, she's not, I always say she's a regular person who works out and sometimes competes. She's not a competitor. She's not a bodybuilder and she never has been. So when it comes to prep and stuff like that, she's not as excited about it. And that's allowed me to have the flexibility with my training that I'm able now to go in and train. It's just solitude, and it's awesome. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's cool, man. It sounds like you're in that groove, you know, that contest prep groove where everything, it feels right, everything makes sense. And it's not a struggle anymore to stay on track, is it?
No. I think, you know, as it gets harder and it gets deeper into the prep, I mean, it's still relatively early, but I'm starting to get into it. My weight's down about 204 and stuff. So my weight's coming down. I'm getting leaner, but it's cool. And it's a new, you know, it's new to me because of the gear. It's pretty sweet.
I forget. So I'm enjoying it. Are you taking Tren? I forget.
Yeah, I just started. Well, I haven't started. It's preloaded and it's waiting for me. Yeah. So, and you know what? I don't even like the shit.
Trenace?
Yeah. I mean, I like how it works. Actually, I'm using Hex.
Oh shit.
I'm old school. I love Parabolin. They said they were bringing Parabolin back. I'm like, yay! And then all the younger guys are like, what the fuck's Parabolin?
what are we talking? 100 milligrams every day?
No, every other day. I don't go big on it.
So. Raise your hand if you're not on Tren. Oh, Scott's the only one raising. Scott's the only one raising his hand right now.
Well, I couldn't raise my hand because since Skip's wife went back to drinking, I'm getting those pictures on my text pictures from her now. So
seriously,
no, I was busy. Yeah, they're not too racy though.
Well, she's don't not worry. Drinking enough yet then.
Yeah. But, hey, I've actually been following your picture, so you know that I'll tell you if you look like shit. So I haven't told you that yet.
Yeah, I know, but I'm very careful on, you know, the pictures that I post. I take 72 pictures, or I take a video, actually, and I pluck a picture from the video.
Perfect
to
light.
Make sure it's in the perfect light. Yep. Yes.
Perfect angle.
Yeah. Some things don't change, right?
The only difference is...
My buddy sees you, too, though.
And he tells what?
Me. My buddy that lives down there that trains at the same gym as you, he tells me.
I don't train at that gym anymore.
Oh, I better tell him you moved.
Where'd you move to? You know what? I do, but because I train late at night, like tonight I'm going to go in and train legs, but I haven't been there in like 2 weeks. So since you said your buddy trains there and he doesn't talk to me and he's never introduced himself, I just changed gyms. Fuck that shit.
You going to the 24-hour gym now?
Yeah. Okay. And you know what? And I'm not big on 24-hour, but I'm big on the middle of the night when there's only two people there.
Hell yeah.
And again, it's just solitude. The train, you know, the equipment isn't bad. It's actually, for a 24-hour, it's pretty good. The only thing that I have, and I've bitched about this on social media, is it's a complete and utter disaster area.
Yeah.
So running down a 50-pound dumbbell, it could be across the gym. Everything's on the floor. Even plates are on the fucking floor.
Wow. So that's messed up.
It is kind of messed up. And the funny thing is, though, is that's how I started training when I was a teenager at the Y Center in Battle Creek. So it's not like I'm not used to it. It's just, it's been years and years and years since I've had that. And with nobody else in the gym, it's not that big a deal. But if it were busy and it were like, I can't even imagine trying to run down what you're trying to find, because it's hard enough sometimes when there's nobody in the gym.
Right.
So it gives me a little bit of it's further away too. It takes me about 15, 20 minutes to get there and there's no traffic. So I get in, we bought a new car. So I get in my car and it's the only time I really get to drive. So I'm able to just, you know, chill with the moonroof open and, you know, it's 2 in the morning or 1:30 and I'm listening to tunes and just, you know, rolling down the highway. It's kind of cool.
That's
nice. I'm having fun right now. Yeah.
I saw a picture of the BMW, by the way, the white, the black. Looks good, man. Looks real good.
Thank you. Yeah, I got a good deal on it. I was pretty excited. And I've wanted something higher end for a while, so it's kind of nice. You give up your beautiful house and you live in an apartment, you're like, I want something nice again. Right. So I don't know if it was, you know, you just got it. We're guys. We got to have our shit and we got to have our toys, and I got mine.
So I was kind of inadvertently trying to tell you guys I'm taking some Tren too right now.
Nice.
I'm using Tren E, which I only used that once before and I didn't have a good experience with it. I mixed it. I used Tren E and Tren Ace at the same time during a contest prep. And I think I went just a little bit too high with it. This time I'm only doing like 200 milligrams a week. So I think that's like super low, you know?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good, to be honest with you. I don't think I've ever been over every other day at a mil. And that's just me personally. I just think the stuff is really, really good. But I also run higher tests.
I'm using a CC every other day.
Cool. Yeah.
Along with a little bit, what is it? I got some EQ that's dosed at 300, so I'm using a half cc of that as well. So
you coughing yet?
No coughing. I'm good.
See, one of the reasons that I prefer Hex too, because the acetate I've had violent coughing fits, and it just sucks. You're halfway through the inject, and all of a sudden you can feel your breathing. It's almost like your lungs are filling up with fumes. It's that stuff is rough, man.
No, I'm using Tren E, and so far it hasn't done that to me at all.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm feeling good. I'm trying to gain weight. And honestly, I know neither you guys, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, you aren't really a fan of Tren for growth, but I like it. Like, I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling strong. Not using a lot of it. Got the EQ in there. I've got the test, and I feel like those things are, you know, obviously helping towards growth. But it's just overall, I feel more aggressive in the gym, and the weights are going up easily. I feel like it's just benefiting me. So I'm happy with it.
Hey, for the record, I do think that it works well. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I just think it's such a harsh – it's more of a harsh compound than the EQs and the NPPs that I just kind of feel like it's almost like, I don't want to die. I'm already going to die early.
Right.
I don't want to die that early. But no, I do think it's a great compound. That's, I think, what happens is because of the way we talk about it sometimes with, you know, the trending of of dosing these days, about how people are just, you know, they want to just slam a bunch of Tren and not much test. I think that's why it probably comes off like Scott and I are huge fans of it.
That makes sense. And you know what, too? It's kind of like we were talking before the show started. We were talking about like the mood issues that I feel like, and I know you guys agree, it seems like in bodybuilding, there is a much larger percentage of us that have like mood disorders and just mental problems compared to the general public. I don't know what it is, if it's because we're so extreme, But I feel like you add some training with that. For a lot of us, it's probably not a good idea anyway, right?
Well, and I think a lot of times, because I agree with you 100%, I think what happens too is Tren, even though it's still used in the off season and growth phases, it's predominantly still used during prep. And then you're adding not only potential, you know, psychological issues or disorders or just mood, you know, different personality traits, but you're also dealing with dieting.
Yes.
And I think that that compound, you know, Tren gets a little bit too much credit sometimes. When you're done shuffling papers, Scott, I'll finish.
I'm not moving.
Are you shuffling cards? Are you fucking playing solitaire or something?
I'm opening boxes.
I'm not doing anything.
No, I think the Tren gets, the compound itself gets more credit when the diet, you know, should be in there too, but it's still rough shit. I mean, it doesn't help you sleep well.
Right.
You know, you sweat a lot, especially when you're sleeping. I mean, there are certainly, you know, issues. My wife says I have a different smell. I'm like, well, does it smell bad? She goes, no, it doesn't really, it's not bad. It's not like BO. She goes, it's just a different smell, but it could be also from dieting at the same time. It could be ketones.
True.
You know, it's just really hard telling, you know, exactly what it is or why.
And TMI.
Bathing.
TMI, I've been told a different taste.
Oh.
Yep.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that on. It's the Tren. Tren will do it to you. But hey, Scott, what do you think it is about us as bodybuilders that we have so many, like getting back to this mood thing? What do you think the deal is? Why do you think that so many people in bodybuilding are just maybe a little bit off?
You know, first of all, I'm on a pack of Girl Scout cookies a day, so that's my my cycle.
Yeah. what kind?
Mint chocolate chip.
Okay. Oh, okay. Samoa's all the way. Anyway,
I actually did take a CC injection the other day and got a squirter.
Oh.
Nice. Where'd you put it?
Delt.
Nice. Hit the wall?
Oh, it was a good one.
There you go.
It looked like there was a fucking homicide in the back.
Make me proud. Mm. And you know, when you have that, don't stop it right away. If you have time, grab your phone.
Get a picture.
You might as well
take
a goddamn video of it.
Oh, I squirted everywhere so my wife freaks out.
It's kind of like you're taking off blood that way. You're phlebotomizing yourself. I mean, if I start spurting, I'm going to be like, thank God, because my blood was getting kind of thick anyway. I'm just going to stand here and turn towards the shower and let it land in the bathtub.
Turn toward your coffee can.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What was your original question, Scott?
I was trying to craftfully shift toward the topic that we had been discussing earlier, which was, you know, mood issues and specifically people in bodybuilding. And, you know, I wanted to kind of work that in with, you know, what you were talking about with, what was the term?
TBI.
TBI. Let's just cut
traumatic
right to that.
Brain injury.
Yeah. Let's just cut right to that, man. Traumatic brain injury. And how does that relate to hormones?
Well, TBI is, let me backstory a little bit. So I think people are aware of, they hear of the 22 suicides a day of veterans, and that number is a little skewed for some reasons, but, you know, the VA and certain medical outlets were always labeling the PTSD. The PTSD was the reason. And what they fail to realize is that a lot of veterans have TBI, and there's like a mild, medium, and a higher TBI effects. And so there's a couple of doctors that are really have done a lot of research on it. And what it comes down to is concussion. So either you're concussed, so you're knocked out, you have a concussion, mild concussion, or it's repetitive, you know, trauma to the head, either by ground concussion, you know, if you're in combat from mortars, or if you're like an artillery guy and you're popping off a 155 howitzer, you know, the continued overpressure from those type of things. And they even have narrowed it down to even just firearms use, like a lot of shooting, even with just, M4s or, you know, saws and different things. That they actually, the military has actually gone to where there's a AT4 and there's the Goose, the Carl Gustav. It's a Corliss rifle, where in training they don't even let the troops shoot more than two a day.
Hmm.
And the instructors have to stay a certain distance and can't be within range of the of certain ordnance because of the overpressure and the concussion from it. And what it does is basically your brain, you know, is floating in your head. And this continued concussion or overpressure causes TBI. And what's happened on that end is they, you know, every Joe that was walking in the VA, they're like, oh, you got PTSD, here's an SSRI. Well, that if their brain chemistry wasn't altered to need an SSRI, then it actually was screwing their brain chemistry up, because TBI doesn't have a lot of effect on dopamine and serotonin. It's a different effect to the nerve system in your brain. And so that was part of that. And then on the bodybuilding side, I think, you know, hormones in general are going to play definitely a factor in dopamine, serotonin.
I can see that.
So if you're blasting dopamine and serotonin, but you have poor reuptake, you know, there can definitely be some depression, you know, symptoms or cases of that. And, you know, I also say, you know, in bodybuilding, you know, recreational drug use is pretty prevalent. And that also, you know, in my opinion, I don't know if anybody studied it, but I think there's a cause and effect there too, you know, amphetamines and different, you know, stuff that's somewhat prevalent in the sport.
So do you think the recreational drug use, though, is in bodybuilding is actually for performance purposes, or is it because of psychological, I don't want to say issues, because, but for lack of a better term, psychological issues? Because I see recreational drug use in bodybuilding as like more from a personality or psychological perspective than I do actually performance. I understand that new bang, yeah, things like that, you can get hooked on because you started using them to train harder. But I think that's kind of the exception to the rule. I just think that, and I think you guys would agree, people in bodybuilding, especially when it comes to competitors, they're extreme. Right. They're not only all or none, but, and I think that, and I said this prior to the show, I'm just going to reiterate, I think that, and this is just me personally, I haven't looked at any numbers either. I don't know if there would be any numbers out there, but I think that the suicide rate in bodybuilding when it comes to competitors and that sort, I think is higher than the average or than the norm.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I would say that, I mean, I don't think I'm going to tell anything that y'all don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of bodybuilders will say, well, I don't drink because, you know, it's going to mess up their diet. So I'll, you know, snort a line of marching powder or do something else, or, you know, GHB or whatever. I'll be honest. I mean, the vast majority of people that I've worked with have had some kind of addictive issue in their life, be it Xanax, alcohol, whatever, you know, and I'm no exception. I mean, I've had my problems too. So it's, I think it's bodybuilding and addictive personalities kind of go together, you know, and, you know, obviously, if you're going to be on hormones and your hormones are going up and down, especially if you're not doing your blood work and monitoring your estrogen and different things, and then you toss in some, you know, a potentially addictive substance like a benzo or, you know, painkillers or whatever. I mean, it can be a real rocky road. I mean, I've been on that rocky road. It's not easy now.
You know, back to OCD. Don't you think that OCD plays? I mean, there are a lot of bodybuilders who are OCD.
Oh yeah, I mean I kind of label addictive personality OCD in a similar context, you know.
Okay.
But I think with the TBI part though, that's just a misdiagnosis. and people are being given drugs that they don't really, you know, they don't need. Their brain chemistry is not screwed up, and they're just screwing them up. Neurontin is another one that's dished out like candy.
Yeah, I've used it.
Because, you know, the VA wanted, you know, everybody, they were handing out opioids like they were candy, and then, oh, you know, we can't do that anymore, so let's give them Neurontin, which is even worse. So then that, and that's another one that jacks with you. But yeah, I just think it's a mix of the kind of personalities that tend to, you know, be in the sport or want to compete, and then these little demons that come along with it. You know, you'd be AAS and or recreational use of drugs.
Well, I think there has to be a, you know, an extreme component to what we do anyway, because it is so consuming that the average person isn't going to be able to do everything needed to be successful. So, I mean, you know, I don't consider myself, well, let me make sure I explain this right. I believe that I have an addictive personality. I'm an all or none, 100% or nothing type of person. At the same time, I'm at least, and it's probably because of years under my belt doing this, so there's kind of an awareness, but I don't allow it to consume me these days, and I don't do things like drink or other drugs because I understand, due to awareness, that I'm probably not going to be able to manage those. I've always said, I'll never do coke because I'll probably like it and I'll keep doing it. But yet at the same time, I chew a can and a half of Copenhagen a day. And that's after not chewing for 14 years. Matter of fact, I think I pretty much had nicotine poisoning for the first couple months because it didn't take me long to get back to chew. I chew all, if I'm not eating, sleeping, or fucking, I'm chewing. And the only reason I'm not chewing when I'm fucking is my wife won't let me.
Yeah, she told me that. She didn't like that.
She's not, she's not hip to that.
And yeah, I chew about a can a day.
Do you? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think we all have that addictive component, but I think a lot of it comes down to awareness. And I think other people just, you know, there are people who just can't cope and they can't manage, you know, against their addictive person. And I think that's where the things like the, you know, the rec drugs come into play. You hear a lot of people, and bodybuilders do it with steroid use. They justify everything.
Sure.
Well, you know, I smoke pot because, you know, it calms me. I can't think. I've even heard my son say it, for fuck's sake. He smokes pot because it makes him, you know, it gives him mental clarity and everything else. And you know what? To some degree, maybe it does. Maybe it slows down people's thinking and brains that are overactive. He's got ADD, and he's always had it off the chart ADD. Hmm. Yet at the same time, you know, was, you know, 15 and 16 when he was smoking pot. So when you're that young, that's not exactly the best coping mechanism. You need to try to manage your, whether it be anxiety or your overactive brain, without drugs, and at least to some degree, the best you can. And then if you're going to use things as an adult on occasion to help, then I guess that's, you know, look, I'm a libertarian at heart. I've said it a million times. If you're an adult and it's not bothering anybody else, hey, more power to you. But it still doesn't change the fact that I think that the suicide rate and depression is higher than the national average when it comes to competing. And I would say bodybuilding, but it's just in competition that involves what we do, whether it be, you know, figure or, you know, competing. I just see bodybuilding as more of the extreme of all the competitive divisions because there's so much more that goes into it, including more drugs.
Yeah.
Well, also you see, you know, I know some retired pro athletes and in my area, and you see especially ones that have fairly longer careers, when they retire, it's like they're searching for something.
Sure.
And so in bodybuilding, you could relate to the same thing. If you were a 24-year-old top 5 national guy or getting your pro card, and then you're like 40 and you're just really not competitive anymore due to injury or whatever, you know, some people struggle to find something else in life to challenge themselves.
Well, and I think some of it plays into, and tell me if you guys disagree, but, you know, even when it comes to people in the industry who aren't competitors, there's relevancy. There's the feeling of being important or noticed, or, you know, I've heard of, and I don't want to obviously mention any names out of respect, but, you know, even thinking about, you know, a guy who owned a website, you know, years ago, 5-8 years ago, maybe it's been 10, I don't know how long it's been, I guess, but in there somewhere, and seemed relatively successful. And you see this a lot. You see that these people who end up successfully committing suicide, from the outside, you think, God, what the hell were you thinking? Like, you, I don't want to say you had it all, but from the outside, it looks like everything is great.
Yeah.
Well, you had this and you were, but to them, they apparently were a giant failure, and to the point where they just couldn't deal with it. And, you know, the option that they chose was just, you know, fuck this.
Yeah. And I recently, not, you know, not a couple of months ago, but we had some guys out, some veterans, and took them. We take, go up in little bird helicopters and shoot hogs. And there was a guy in there.
Batgirls? Just, that's,
huh?
Batgirls?
No.
Oh, real hogs, it's like pigs.
Real hogs, yeah. Oh.
Texas style hunting.
Yeah, helo hunting. So this guy was, had been out for like about a year and a half, and kind of relates to the athlete thing. So he went on this thing, and he seemed normal. Everything was cool. And then later, a week or so later, said, hey, you know, a week before that hunt, I was thinking about killing myself. And because I felt I had no sense of purpose, because he was out and there was no, you know, there was nothing. He didn't have, it's like being an athlete or being a bodybuilder. When you lose that purpose, that direction. And he said, by going on that hunt with us, he said he felt like he found a new purpose.
What, like, about, wow, the mundaneness of bodybuilding itself? I know how I have found myself just going, gosh, is this my existence? I understand right now I'm prepping and I don't prep all the time and I don't, you know, live my life as a competitor. But I get the feeling now when I'm prepping that I could understand how this is your day. This is your life. This is what you've committed to. I'm going to train. I'm going to prep my food. And I'm not going to do very many fun things. I'm going to,
what are you saying, to the gym. Is this a bad thing? Or
I don't know. I just wonder. I guess I'm thinking out loud and wondering if this plays into maybe people get up the mindset that, is this all there is? I know as I've gotten older, I'm going to be honest with you. As I've gotten older, I have wondered, and I've talked to other people, and I feel better that other people feel the same way, because I thought maybe I was the exception. But, you know, sometimes I think to myself, wow, is this all there is? Number one, life is fucking stressful. Raising kids and, you know, being an adult and taking care of the responsibilities you have to take care of is a constant battle. You never really get to the point where, oh, this is a breeze. Hmm. So sometimes I do look at it and go, what else is there? I'm happily married. I enjoy, you know, my life, my kids, and, you know, I'm empty nesting now. There are certainly great things there. At the same time, I have thought, and I haven't thought of, you know, suicide, but I have thought, what else is there? Like, what do I do? What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. Maybe on the weekend, I'm going to do some fun shit. And next week's going to be the same as this week. It's kind of a mundane, or feels like a mundane existence sometimes. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not, even if that doesn't play into suicide and depression, does that play into the drug use? Because it certainly could. Like, oh my God, I need a fucking break. Like, this is lame as fuck. Because, well, we say we, you know, love training, and that's great and everything, and we love, you know, challenging ourselves, all that cliche shit. But when push comes to shove, do it for long enough, and it does become quite redundant and mundane. It's almost kind of boring. So it's a different, yeah, I mean, mindset that you have to look at it, and you said earlier, compartmentalize and think, okay, it's a prep. You know, speaking for myself, it's a prep, and, you know, X amount of weeks it'll be done, and I'll go back to doing normal shit. But I mean, I can't even get out and ride my motorcycle right now because of the way my schedule is, and because of the way I just don't have that extra time to do the fun things that I would normally do, which, and this is another tangent that I don't want to get off on, but that's how it gets in the way of relationships, and how spouses, boyfriends, and girlfriends of competitors, they probably can't enjoy the process all that much either. And, you know, my wife is not training with me right now, not because she's mad at me or anything else, but I'm sure she looked at it and went, oh gosh, you know, you're prepping. Okay, that's cool, but I know I'm not going to have much fun for the next X amount of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I can relate to when I was doing the powerlifting and mainly the bench meets, and I was doing pretty good. And I was 26, and you know, I was in good shape, and things were going great. And I tore my labrum, and then I spent 4 years in a bar, never going to the gym.
And that's not an uncommon thing. I hear people all the time. I'm sure you guys do. Once a bodybuilder gets an injury, you talk about massive depression, because the focus is always on us all the time and progression and getting better. And then all of a sudden that's just not there. Then what are you left with?
Well, I got something to throw in here, guys. You know, I found bodybuilding when I was a kid, but I didn't really embrace it until after I had gotten into recovery. You know, I had used drugs on and off through all my life up into my late 20s, and it took going through a lot of changes in like who I am even to be able to embrace life clean. And what I found in my life with bodybuilding, and what I see a lot of other people who grasp onto it and latch onto bodybuilding find, sorry, I sound like Skip. I keep clearing my throat here.
I know.
I found that what you're talking about it in a negative way, and I get it, I can see that, but I don't see that mundaneness as a negative thing. I see it as positive, because I see it as, you know, what I call my consistency. It allows me to kind of control my day, and it could be a positive or a negative thing, but when you live as a bodybuilder, you're able to control everything from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. You have your entire day planned out, and it's then like you said, Scott, you get hurt, that's when the chaos comes back in, because you're no longer in that controlled state. So for me, coming to bodybuilding, my life started feeling a lot better and a lot more manageable once I could kind of like keep it under control versus just being in chaos.
Well, you know, there's plenty of people, I mean, they'll tell you, I mean, I haven't been to rehab, but you know, one of the things they'll immediately want people that are in an addiction, no matter what it is, they'll want them to start to exercise. So you have also the other spectrum where people are doing things that are, you know, either drugs, alcohol, some kind of addictive issue. And then they get into the gym, maybe not compete, but consistently go to the gym, and that fills that void, and they start, you know, turning their life around. I think it can go both ways. I mean, it can be a positive in some cases, like what you were saying, Scott. And then I think on the other end, it can drag people down. I wouldn't say if you just go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week and you don't compete. I think it's the competitive side of it.
Right.
You're a very competitive person, and you've, especially people that have been really successful, and maybe, you know, they're just not, the physique's just not doing what it used to. And guys that get a little older, you know, you're not going to be jamming 4 grams in your body a week, and you're just not, you know, it psychologically, you just, you know, you're having trouble with it, that you're not at that level, just like the pro athletes, everything else. You're not at that level anymore. Yeah. And some people struggle to deal with that.
I like
myself too much to kill myself. So, you know, and I can honestly say I've never even contemplated that, but I mean, I struggled with addiction for about a 5-year stretch. I mean, it was, I had to, you know, people say, oh, people can tell you to do this, go to this counseling. I'm one of the thought that you got to make up your own mind, you know, and I had to make up my own mind that this wasn't going to work, you know. Things weren't adding up, you know. Bad things happen to you when you're addicted eventually. I mean, yeah, it's all cool, but after you go get drunk in enough bars 7 days a week, shit happens bad, you know. And it's eventually you got to have the wake up call and go, okay, what am I going to do with my life? And what, and am I, you know, me or the person has to make that decision to change. And it's not always easy.
No kidding. Well, guys, we've been going on about this for a little while. We should get to break and come back to answer questions. We actually got a really nice turnout this week. Thank you, everybody that listened to us last episode. And, you know, they went over and they submitted questions. So I appreciate it, and I know that Skip and Scott do too. So we've got a ton of shout-outs here that we should get to, though. First, Tyler Beck. He says that he's listened to every episode, avid listener, and he wouldn't mind a shout-out. So, yeah, nothing like somebody. How does that feel, Skip? He's listened to every episode.
You know, it's funny because it never gets old when I get a message where someone contacts me, they have a question or they're inquiring about services or whatever. And when they say that they've either, you know, oh, I listen to the show all the time, I love the show. It can be something as simple as that. And it never gets old. I just think it's the coolest shit. So if he's listened to every episode, yeah, that's somebody's listening.
I wonder if he listened to all the PED episodes too. If not, those are all gone now. You know that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even think they're available anymore.
Yeah.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
PED? PED. It was an old show.
Yeah. It was all right, I guess, but nothing like the new one.
Ben Broadhurst, he's a young guy. He listens to the program as well. He's been listening to all the podcasts lately. Nothing like having podcasts to educate the young minds. I'm glad we are here for him for that. David Altman's. He's a listener of the show. He's also listens to Bodybuilding Nerds. Omar Hurtada. I know he's been listening for a long time, all the way back since the PED days. Rob Urich. I know he's listening to all the shows. And Derek Cervantes. I don't know if you guys know this, but Derek designed the little Blood, Sweat, and Gear logo that we use.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah,
I know. I do remember that.
Yeah.
I think Ben, isn't Ben that young kid?
Yeah, real young.
Yeah, he catches a lot of shit, man. But that kid, I don't know. I told you before, he'd be interesting to talk to because he's so young. And you're not going to pick him out, you know, as a bodybuilder if you see him. You know, he's a kid. He's interested in the game. But he's well-versed. You know, it's amazing. And it kind of reminds me of when I was that age. And I was just so, maybe not consumed, but I was just so passionate about it. I wanted to learn as much as I could. And I see a lot of me in this kid.
Yeah.
So I see his posts and stuff, or I see someone giving him some shit and I'm about ready to jump in. And then I find out that other people are defending him too. So it's cool. That could be a kid down the road that ends up being a brilliant prep guy, you know, a brilliant bodybuilding mind. I mean, it's certainly early and it's hard to tell, but
he's got a passion.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, for sure.
We've got Kirtlin Worlety, I think you pronounce his name. Adam Lamb from, I forget the name of Adam's company, but he's going to remind me soon. He's got a...
It just changed. So, because he went out on his own. Yeah, but he has written a book. Good guy from Michigan, family guy. I've spoken on and off with him over the last couple of years because of his involvement with his TRT with our other business, Infinity Life Systems, and solid dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Is he doing something with Serrano?
You know, I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if he is or not.
I think he is. I think he's got something going on with him, but yeah, we had him on Bodybuilding Nerds before, and he's also the owner of Size Slim, the supplement company.
Yes.
And they make some good products. So check those guys out. Let's see. Am I missing anybody on the list? Not so far. We've got Scott Chase. He said that he'd like a shout out. He's a long-term listener from here in Colorado.
Yeah, fellow Coloradan. Yeah.
Says, tell Skip to come back and train and get a burger.
Tell him that if he's going to buy me a burger, I'm going to come back. But I'm the number one thing I am missing from Colorado, and I'm not playing. I will salivate if I think about it, especially when it's before it's time to load. The sweet potato pancakes from Snooze. I'm dying.
Ooh, I'm fucking dying.
It has crossed my mind, and I am not kidding, just to go back for a weekend so that I can see a couple people and get those goddamn pancakes.
Those are fucking good, man.
Oh, my God.
They had those at a place called the Pancake Factory in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And they were so good. The morning that I left, you know, my friend VJ loves pancakes, too. It was like an 8-hour drive. I bought an order for myself and an order for him, and I drove him straight home so he could throw it in the microwave.
That is a good friend. Yeah. That's awesome.
They were so good. Like, I had to share it. Have you?
Yeah.
That place is the best, man. That's my favorite pancake place ever.
Dolly World.
So shout out to Pancake Factory.
Dolly World? No shit? In Pigeon Forge? We stayed. Yeah. We stayed there in 2013 when for our annual bike trip, behind Dollywood. And it was funny because coming from Colorado, I thought, oh, how good can the riding be in the Smokies? It was fucking A good.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. Oh, my God. We want to go back. It awesome riding. And, you know, those small Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, they're awesome little towns to hang out in when it was raining and we couldn't ride.
Yeah.
Love that. You know, they had that big fire in 14 or 15 that ripped apart a good part of Gatlinburg. It was a huge, huge fire.
It was, I think, a little more recent than that even.
Oh, okay. May have been.
Yeah. I guess, I've never been a big Dolly Parton fan, like just cause it's not my style of music, but she gave money to all the people that were put out of their homes.
Yep, she did.
She gave like a ton of money. I can't remember what it was, but for everybody that lost their home, she was giving them like, I can't remember what it was, like $1,000 a month for the next year until they got their home back.
Yep.
I mean,
dude. I made up a fake address there and sent it to her to get some money.
Yeah, you did. Eddie Schillingslaw. That's how you say his name. He posts on a lot of her stuff. He says he'll take a shout out. And Roger Hildreth. He says my son Max desperately wants a shout out. So shout out to Roger and shout out to Max. We've got James Porter. He says, I'll take a shout out. I'm hanging out for an episode. It gets me through my 2 hours of cardio a day at the moment. I know he's getting ready to compete. I don't know if you guys have seen him. I should fire you over a picture. This dude is like, he's pro caliper. I had him on
Advice. Hey, he looks good.
Yeah, he's a badass dude. And he gave up bodybuilding, Skip. He like totally gave it up, totally quit competing. He basically was real close to turning pro, didn't do it. Crazy legs. And he said when he was on the show like a year ago, he was like, no, I'm never going to compete again. I just don't have any interest. Well, guess what he's doing? He's like 2 weeks away, I think, right now.
Very cool. Where's he from?
He is in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah. Steve Marchione, he says, I confess I had a pizza this weekend, so I'm not worthy to listen. But he is worthy to get a shout out.
He just got back from vacation, I think, too.
So he got back from vacation and then he ate a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't work, dude. You're supposed to get back on track.
Exactly.
Michael Edmonds, he's Welsh. He says, shout out for a fluffy Welsh guy, please. And last but not least, David Danziger.
Yeah, Australia. Good dude.
Oh, he's in Australia, too. Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yep.
I was talking to one of your guys from Australia the other day, Skip. Did you know that there are camels in Australia?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Feral camels. I guess they brought them over because I think that horses weren't able to withstand the temperatures in the desert. So they brought over camels, and then the camels were turned loose once cars came around and everything and other forms of transportation. And now they've gone feral, and there's like a million feral camels in Australia.
No kidding.
Did yeah, know that. They're like tearing shit up.
We have camels here.
Camel toes.
No, serious people. Giraffes, all kinds of crap.
David mentions he's 54 too, so he's not. He's got you beat, Skip, and he's still training.
Nice. No spring chicken.
He looks good too. I just clicked on his profile picture. Dude, he looks fucking strong. I'm seeing him do some bench press. Anyway, that's it for shoutouts. If you guys didn't make it this time, stay tuned, and we'll post another thread next week or next episode for shoutouts. We're going to get to commercial break, get back and answer some questions, and at the end of the show, we will pick a t-shirt winner, and I think we're going to make a habit of this because we got a lot of submissions, so thanks guys for that. We'll see you back in just a minute. I used to sell yayo back in the day, yo. Ran with the gang, had all my homies playing. Crabs to the corners, I'm taking all the orders, making all the runs, breaking in the front. If you've enjoyed S2H's contribution to Blood, Sweat, and Gear and would like to learn more, reach out to his team at advancedtrainingtech.com. No matter what your goals are, if you're heading to the pro stage or just want a recomp, feel free to register at advancedtrainingtech.com. Team S2H will be available to educate and inform members as to what plans would best fit their needs, or just hang out and interact at the forums free of charge. That's advancedtrainingtech.com. Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last 2 decades.
From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated. Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout-outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
All right, guys, and we are back. S2H, Advanced Training Tech, Skip with Team Skip, and of course, by proxy, Intense Muscle. Go check it out. We've got a couple of Scott. What? Who? I heard an echo. Intense. I forgot. It was me. I'm going to take the blame. Scott, you had a couple shout outs too.
Yeah, I had a shout out from Sean and Heather Smith with Sparta Fitness. It's in the north side of Houston. If anybody goes by there and wants like a free week of gym time, you can mention Scotty Too Hottie and get a pass.
I thought you said a free week of Tren.
No. I'll take that.
Like, you know,
that's where my brain is right now.
Yeah. And a shout out to the guy who did want me to give him a shout out because they have another podcast, but they listen to ours and they like it better than theirs. So,
ouch. As they should.
A shout out also to any vets who live in the state of Texas that want to come for free helo shoots. There's an organization I'm working with. It's a .org, and it's all for veterans. It's like a, you know, like a, you know, meet and greet, eat, fly in the little birds. It's all, they do it all for free. There's no cost. It's for honorably discharged veterans. So you can reach, just get a hold of me if you're in this state or want to come down.
How do they get a hold of you?
Social media? Oops, can't do that.
Right.
We can give your telephone number out.
S2H training@gmail.com.
Okay, cool. All right, guys, let's shift gears, no pun intended, over to the questions. I said, you know, I wanted to do things a little bit different. I wanted to try to amp things up. I feel like, you know, the show just needs more. I feel like everything could always be better. So I don't want to accept anything less than that. And that's why we're doing more with the show today. And I hope you guys like it. If you have any comments, please let me know. We're going over to questions. This is from the question thread at the bodybuilding section of the Advices Radio forums. You can go to forum.advicesradio.com. Like I said, click on the bodybuilding section, blood, sweat, and gear thread. And here we go. This is Madam McVayrod. Do you guys think the reverse hyper machine is one to treat like any other exercise and focus on increasing loads over time, or more just for stretching and using minimal loads? I find it to be very therapeutic, so for whatever reason, I'm more tentative to try and push myself to use much weight. It's a fantastic piece, so wanting to get the most out of it. Now, I'm going to say, first of all, Skip, I bet you your 24-hour gym currently does not have a reverse hyper.
Does not.
That's the problem with the chain gyms like that. You got to go somewhere hardcore to get a reverse hyper.
I agree. In chain gyms, you're going to have a hard time even finding any type of variety of calf equipment. Standing calf raises or standing calf machines are even becoming non-existent as well. So yeah. I agree.
Well, nobody trains.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of them.
No.
Well, here's the thing, though. Yeah, my lower back issues really aren't compatible with that movement anyway.
Me too.
A lot of stress on the lower back. So obviously with my back issues, I think it's a bad idea, and I think that if people do have back issues, it's a bad idea. But I have come to believe over the years, I think that even people without back issues still should be very cautious and careful with exercises. And just because they don't hurt or you don't have lower back issues, I think there are some things that just put your lower back in a compromised position. And I'm not a big fan of them. Just not.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, it was Louis Simmons, I believe, that created the reverse hyper. And he always had said it was the way that he rehabbed his back. I find that for me, it just trashes my back. I can use like the Roman chair. I can kind of like get into that, and I can kind of get enough of an exercise, you know, out of that, or like that hyperextension bench. But like the reverse hyper, it's just too much pressure for me. And the second I use it, man, I'm wrecked. Like literally a couple reps and I'm done.
Yeah, but isn't his reverse hyper machine, it's a modified version though. It's not like our traditional one.
I don't know. I thought that he came up with the reverse hyper.
Yeah, but I think his is a different, it has a different angle. It's not the exact, like the one you'd see in a gym. Like actually the 24-hour fitness I kind of used to go to has one.
Okay.
And they're not exactly the same, I don't think.
Okay.
Well, let me wait a minute. Are we talking about a reverse hyper that is plate loaded, or are we talking about a hyper extension bench?
We're talking about the reverse hyper machine. I'll show you a picture of one.
Yeah, it's plate loaded. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. That's all. Because I'm a little surprised that your 24 hour has one.
Yeah, they do. I mean, not that it gets used much. I mean, but they have one.
Hmm.
I'm not big on it. I mean, if it's not bench, deadlift, or curls, what use is it?
Hmm.
Don't get me going on deadlifts.
I've never really gotten into it, but I mean, if it works for somebody, then
Yeah, it was Louis Simmons that invented it. It's plate loaded. You kind of lay over the machine and you kind of kick your legs back, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think he's modified it to a different angle now. He's got a different one. I may be wrong.
I can show you a picture of it. It's the same one that I've seen at the gyms that I've trained at that have one. But I'm going to move on. George UK, he says, "Hey, Scott, Skip, and Bob." Well, Bob's not with us today.
I'm here. Unfortunately.
Oh, wait, Bob is here. I thought we had S2H. I get so confused.
Oh, somebody's
sometimes.
Here.
Okay. Longtime listener here and have a question about growth. Does S2H still support the every other day protocol? Have you had client feedback on that method that supports it? Following up on that, would it be sensible for a first-time HGH user to begin with low dosages and build up to higher on every other day? So he's saying, like an example, doing 2 units every other day and building to 8 units.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. So, I mean, the EOD GH thing, through labs that I've gotten, people have gotten, I've seen over fairly long stretch of time, it works. Your IGF levels stay just as elevated as if you were doing 2 IUs a day, let's say. Two, you don't have all the insulin sensitivity and issues that come with that, and possible, low blood glucose leading to diabetes down the road, long road. Now, I would say that going up every other day in the amount to a point, and then there's just a diminishing return in form of bang for your buck. I mean, if you take 4 IUs of Genotropin every other day, is 5 IUs really going to make much difference? No, because I've done labs and looked at it, and your IGF levels really don't go up much more. So it's once you use it for 7 to 10 days straight and get those IGF levels elevated, every other day sustains it. And I just don't like the really high doses, because I just know multiple people that have had that are on insulin now because they used a lot of growth and continuously. So I would think that if you went like 8 IUs every other day and you ran that for 5 or 6, you know, long term, you're going to have some problems. I just don't see the benefit in it, really.
Right on. You have any thoughts on this one, Skip?
Well, I think since we first started talking about the dosing, and Scott brought out all that information on every other day dosing, I'll admit that I have gone to that with a lot of my clients as well.
Really?
Yeah, I have. For the reasons that Scott has stated, I just think that, as he said, if you're able to maintain IGF levels with every other day dosing and to be able to have less of an impact on insulin resistance over time, I think it just seems like a no-brainer. But when it comes to timing and when it comes to things like this, this is right in Scott's wheelhouse. So, you know, a lot of what he says, I don't want to say a lot. Sometimes we disagree on things, not very often, so it's not a lot. But this is one of those things that I have that's actually impacted me to change the way that I do the GH protocol with a lot of my clients. I say with my clients because I don't use GH, at least not at this time. I've had such good results with MK, and it's so cost effective.
Yeah.
If I were back into my, you know, I was going to go back into this competitive phase where I was like I was in my heyday, where I was trying to chase down being the, you know, biggest and the most extreme that I could be, I would definitely go back to growth hormone, but I'm not. So I would rather spend that money on a boat.
Yeah, right.
Or a new car or something like that. The other thing is I'm not convinced that I'm a terribly great responder to growth hormone, but I do understand that it takes a long time, and I never did use farm grade GH, so there's always that caveat too that, you know, it's very possible that the growth that I got was subpar.
You know what, man, I'll tell you what, I had always wondered that same thing. So I went out and I got some Humatrope, and I've been running 3 to 4 units of Humatrope a day. I don't see too much of a difference from the high quality generics I was using.
See, and that's funny that you say that, because I tell people all the time, if you're not sure if you're a responder to growth hormone, spend the money and get farm grade growth.
Yeah.
Because at least that way, if you know you got good growth and you use it for a significant amount of time, if you're not a very good responder to it, then you likely were not going to respond any better to generic or cheaper alternatives to farm grade growth. Yeah. At least find out.
I like it. I mean, I like it a lot. I love it for the recovery aspects. I feel like I definitely recover a lot faster for my workouts. I feel like I look better. I stay leaner, especially if I'm eating more food, I stay leaner. But like the difference, it's not like some people would make you want to think where they say, oh, you know, it's night and day, or, you know, right, that's the key. That's the magic. That's how you turn pro. You know, I'm definitely not going to turn pro just because I switched to it.
Agree.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's I mean, if you see all these guys in their 50s in the gym and they're shredded, most of them are on like 2 IUs or an IU of growth every other day.
Hmm.
You know, so yeah. It was a process, kind of, you know, doing the labs and kind of, you know, you can only do, you know, based off my own labs, you can't get a full spectrum, or even with multiple people, but I gathered enough information to see where the every other day people were maintaining IGF, they weren't having blood glucose sugar issues, and then I looked at people I knew that were just jamming 8 IU, 10 IUs a day, and the dudes are all fucked up. You know, I mean, it was just black and white. So, and then the guys jamming the 8 and 10 IUs didn't look any better than the guys doing the every other day 2 IUs. So.
All right. Next question from Delta Pump. I should state I'm new to being enhanced, 33, and switched to the dark side, to TRT. and trying to do, let's see, test E200, let's see, it says switch to the dark side, haha, to TRT. Oh, and now he's trying test E250 milligrams every other day, mast prop 150 milligrams every other day, and VAR 60 milligrams every day. I'm doing contest prep and hoping to do classic physique for the first time. I started at 230 pounds and I dropped to 207, pretty lean in the front, but a lot of fat from my posterior chain. Since adding more test, Masteron and VAR, I jumped up to 215. I'm 6 feet tall and I still am pretty hard from both. I've been using Clen as well, 20 milligrams, must mean 20 micrograms twice a day, and Arimidex, 1 milligram every other day, and he added Novadex, 20 milligrams every day. My question, how do you tell with anabolics how you are growing into a show versus gaining water weight? I have chest and delt striations and pretty ripped through the abs and intercostals, but my back isn't hard to, but with my back, it's hard to tell if it's leaning out as well as hamstrings. It seems like a huge mind fuck, and I don't take GH, but I'm using a coach. But is there a way to communicate better with my coach and how to tell good weight during a contest prep versus just water weight? As a natural, it was simple. Weight went down as I got leaner. I bought William Llewellyn's roid test to make sure that my VAR is VAR and not D-ball and etc. I thought, let's see. It says, thanks, guys. Longtime listener. First time question. Says he uses a local prep coach and he noticed a lot of changes once he added HRT to his plan. I get what he's saying here. It kind of was worded all over the place a little bit in terms of trying to read it for the radio show, but I understand where he's coming from, you know, and I'm sure that you see that, Skip. You know, the guy's dieting down and he's gained some water from the gear. And he's trying to differentiate, you know, is he making progress or is this water weight? How do you tell as a coach?
Well, I mean, it's just a visual. And, okay, you know, the fact that I understand he may want to know, but his prep coach should know that.
Yeah.
And obviously the scale is not going to tell the story. And I try to tell this. Women are worse than guys, admittedly, but guys are still pretty bad when it comes to scale weight as well. Scale weight and weighing yourself is only one tool that allows you to help to gauge progress. It has to be compared or analyzed equally with obviously the visual and a load of other variables too. So relying on scale weight or just looking at scale weight or giving it too much significance is a bad idea. Ultimately, it just comes down to the visual. And you know, to be able to explain the difference between water weight visually and gaining body fat or losing body fat is, I would say, unfortunately, kind of impossible. It's just something that his coach should know and visually be able to see over time. The recomp that's going on, because it's essentially going to be a recomp if he hasn't used gear above TRT before. I'm doing something similar now where the scale still will come down over time, or should, but it's not going to come down anywhere near what it would be if I wasn't on gear, because obviously the gear is going to compensate you know, for weight loss or body, or not body fat loss, but weight loss, scale weight. So it just, you have to go by the visual. That's the number one. And of course it should be anyway, but at least when things are constant and your gear is constant and that variable is constant, then the scale weight is going to be more accurate. It's going to give, now it's not going to be the last word, but it's going to be, give more of an accurate representation of what's going on usually.
Yeah, I mean the coach should be his eyes, or if someone doesn't have a coach, they just have someone who's objective, you know, and can give them feedback. And the scale weight, I mean, he's on that much testy, and he's taking, what do you say, 1 milligram of Arimidex every other day. Yeah. His estrogen's probably pretty high. Because masteron propionate is overrated as far as freeing up testosterone. And Novadex, and take it or leave it. But yeah, I mean, just have your coach. I mean, if you have a coach, he should be giving you feedback. Just ask him, or take maybe someone that you train with or know that lifts, that's can give you objective feedback.
And not to slam the coach, but if he's having to question these things and he's not sure where he stands and the coach isn't, I don't know, giving him, information and feedback that makes him, that he trusts, then that's an issue. Because the coach should know all this and be able to, explain it and be able to, tell him whether he's progressing or whether that's water weight or whether he's getting leaner, that sort of thing.
As long as he's asking, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I feel like that sometimes that happens where somebody's not sure and then they don't ask their coach, they just ask everybody in the gym.
Yeah, and that very well could be. Yeah, it comes back to that. You have a prep coach, and I'm not going to beat the guy up. I'm just saying you have a prep coach.
Yeah.
You chose him. Yeah. You paid him. You got to trust in him. And if it's not 100%, then you shouldn't be paying him. And, you should be working with someone who you trust 100% and is giving you the feedback that you're looking for.
TeamSkip.com.
I would say if anyone were to ask their coach, hey, am I holding water? And they go, I don't know. Then they probably should find another coach.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You make a good point about asking, but at the same time, I don't know if a client should, clients shouldn't wonder if they're progressing or if they're getting leaner. They should know based on the feedback that that their coach is giving them.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of all. I'm trying to think of all sides. I don't necessarily tell somebody every time they check in. Like I don't give them a pep talk every time.
No, I agree. But if they're not progressing, then you would obviously tell them that, or you would know True. That. That's why, so True. Yeah, it is True. A communication issue. Don't get me wrong. I mean, cause I agree with you. I'm similar in the sense that I don't come back with, after pictures weekly and, do cartwheels and, right. and blow air up everybody's ass. Yeah. In fact, I've been known, clients have said to me, well, you didn't say anything, so it must be bad. No, that's not the case. It's that we both have high expectations. You're progressing as usual and things are going great. If you were not, then I would make it a point to, to verbalize that. But everything is going according to plan. So
yeah.
I admit that sometimes as a prep coach, and it could very well be that this prep coach does the same thing, that things are on track and things are going well, and he's not overly verbalizing that, but that this guy has a concern because he's, he feels like, well, he's not mentioning, he's not saying, but the lack of not telling him could just be that he is progressing and things are going just fine.
Yeah.
There's no concerns by the coach. That's very possible too.
Are we going to say something else, Skip?
No, Skip said it all.
All right. Nah. Hey, Scott and Skip. I already think I know the answer to this one. I think Scott has it. Any suggestions on how to keep insulin sensitivity when using GH? Every time I run growth, my fasted blood sugar gets up around 100. Once it hits 100, I usually come off. I haven't run GH in well over a year, and I got blood done, and my A1C was low at 4.7. Fasted blood sugar was 91. The 91 fasted is high for me. He's considered going back on. He said in the past he had always been in the 70s. I'm planning on starting GH this week, but I really need some help keeping my blood sugar levels in check. Any tips would be great. Also, I'm dieting, and the only carbs I take in are intra-workout, 90 grams of highly branched cyclic dextrin and 100 grams post-workout. All other meals of my day are just protein and fats. Would pre-workout insulin a few days a week be beneficial, or would it negatively impact my fat loss? First post, but long-time listener, love the show, guys. Guys, we're getting a bunch of first posts here, so thank you guys for that.
The EOD
Yeah.
Answer. I mean, I would say when you start back into it, you know, go 7 days in a row. I mean, just take like 2 or 3 IUs every other day in the morning. Don't overthink it. And, you know, as far as the insulin goes, I'll let Skip give the insulin advice because I hate giving insulin advice. Because if he's worried about his blood sugar, insulin's going to affect it too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, and I don't think 91 is that out of line. And
neither did I.
If you had a 4.7 A1C, that's a 12-week run rate. I mean, that's pretty good. That's a nice number. So
yeah.
I mean, you're if you use growth insulins, mimetics, different things, I mean, your blood sugar is going to go up some. If you're in the 90s, I don't find that anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I agree with that. I didn't think that it was terribly high either. It depends on how long he's been taking growth, too. It also depends on if there are other variables in there that he's not mentioning, like big refeeds, skip loads, if he's doing, you know, blood sugar on a daily basis, or if it's only, you know, the couple days after a load, things like that. If he is cutting, did he say he was cutting?
Yeah, he's dieting and he's considering going back on growth right now.
Those carbs are kind of high.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, even though the total for the day might not be huge, that's a bit of a surge at, you know, 100 grams of carbs post, and he's got intra as well. You know, one of the things that I had said, and I don't know how that's factoring in, but it's something to look at. If you have intra, then the post-workout carbs don't need to be as dramatic for replenishment if you're taking in an intracarb, and especially one that's so efficient like a cyclic dextrin. So I would take a look at the carb intake post-workout first. But again, if he's been on growth for a long time, there may need to be a, you know, if he's concerned about it, then, you know, the potential, you got the potential there to not get back on. But, you know, you got that factor, and then you also have let me make sure that I'm explaining this right, not tripping over my words. If he's been on for a long time, he also needs to address whether he's a responder too. Because, again, a lot of people, like we were talking about earlier, will take growth hormone and not sure that they're responding. If you're not sure that you're responding and you're spending all the money and then you feel like you've got a high blood sugar or you've got blood sugar issues that the GH is, you know, helping to cause, then that's another something else to consider as far as whether it's to your benefit to use growth hormone anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could always say, you know, well, run metformin, you know, something like that too. But again, I agree with Scott that I didn't think that the numbers were, you know, I didn't consider them off the charts for being on, you know, growth. You know, there are other factors, obviously, but what those numbers didn't alarm me, put it that way.
Yeah. And I agree with I don't like intra carbs.
I'm not a big fan either.
Not a big fan of them. And so like Skip said, if you're intaking that much intra and post, especially with a fast acting carb, or any kind of carb, but I think you're probably overdoing it a little bit.
You know, I would even go so far as to say, without dwelling on the topic, but I think it's good because our stance, Scott and I, as far as intras and everything else, I don't think intras are really necessary unless you have such a fast metabolism and you're trying to grow and you need more calories. It may be old school and some people may think it's antiquated, but I would rather rely on stored glycogen than supplying carbs and trying to use them during a workout. I'm just not a big fan. I am if you're doing, you know, pre-workout insulin, that sort of thing. There are people who can get lean using pre-workout insulin, but it's not something I would jump to. Let's put it this way. I wouldn't advise someone to do that who I'm not working with, that I don't know enough about their situation to do that while they're trying to get lean. If I was working with you and I knew the ins and outs, that's different, because I've had people who can run pre-workout insulin and get lean and get shredded. But it's kind of the exception to the rule.
Yeah. That makes sense. He had one more question. He says, what are some things that we can do to help kidney function My EGRF over the years has dropped from over 100 to 85, 90. My blood pressure is okay, but not great usually. 130, 140 over 70. I know Dante talks about, what's this supplement? ASTRAGALUS.
Oh,
I don't know how to say that. So I obviously don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's okay. Like a root supplement.
Okay. He says that he's been using that every day.
Well, I'd say the main two things that people don't realize with kidney function and that kind of maybe doesn't dawn on them is A, hydration. So being well hydrated. Another thing is people that drink a lot of, especially people that compete, will drink a lot of diet sodas.
Yeah.
Or, you know, excessive caffeine use can affect kidney function. So if you're in a category where, you know, you pee like three times a day and it's not, you know, not dark, but you're not really flushing water, you probably need to up your hydration. If you're using a lot of caffeine or, you know, supplements like that, the pre-workouts and stuff, you might want to look at cutting back on some of that stuff. Hmm. And the soda water.
I would even go so far as to say high blood pressure, especially because I've been in the game for a while. I tend to trend kind of high with blood pressure throughout my life anyway, whether I be on or off. I am not against people using, especially when it's constantly high and they've been in the game for a while, they're going to continue to run gear. I think you're better off using something like lisinopril to help bring it down than I am to just gamble with high blood pressure is nothing to fuck around with. Now, I'm not saying that his blood pressure is off the chart, but at the same time, high blood pressure over the long term will help to destroy kidneys. And I just, I don't know if there's not a worse way to go out, but, you don't want to get to the point where you've done it for a long time. You know, you've maintained your blood work, you know, you feel like you're pretty healthy. And then all of a sudden you've got kidney issues because you've had, borderline high blood pressure for years. So I'm not in any way saying that people should just immediately jump on, you know, something like lisinopril, but I think it should be for those people who tend to run high anyway. I think that that's the lesser of the evils. It is very important to try to control blood sugar as much as possible. And I'm not taking away from, you know, what Scott said or even what Dante said. Dante is very, very much health oriented and he's got a lot of good, solid information because he does a lot of research.
So, yeah. Also, if you have, I just thought this just dawned on me with those kidney markers dropping and with the blood pressure going up, you should probably also visit your doctors, get checked out, because arterial renal stenosis, which is basically the arteries in your kidneys, they narrow. And that also is a cause of high blood pressure, because I actually take, I have it it's a genetic thing, and I have to take a Losartan. And that's just something that everybody that's in my food chain has, but you might want to just get a checkup, go see what's up.
Cool. We've got a couple more questions here. This is Bam Dan 7. He says, "All right, fellas, need some advice. I've been trying to inject into my shoulder more of late. 1 milliliter, 250 milligrams of test E. I usually stick my glute or quad and have no issue other than the occasional PIP. However, when I stick my shoulder, I am experiencing sub-Q leak every time, or at least what I'm figuring is sub-Q leakage. It got so bad on my right shoulder at one point that I began to develop what I can only think to have been a small abscess on my right shoulder, both about a quarter size in diameter.
What's the volume of the shot?
1 cc.
Okay.
Sterile abscess. Probably didn't use a long enough pin.
Yeah.
you know, a lot of guys want to go with 1-inch or even shorter in their or insulin pins or whatever in their delts. But you know, you got a pretty fair. Most people have a fair amount of meat there, so they'll use a shorter pin. And what happens is the oil gets in between the fascia and the skin. You get a sterile abscess.
Yeah, but what I mean, an inch is plenty.
Well, I mean, it depends on how far you. I mean, maybe not sticking it all the way in.
Yeah.
It depends on the person. I mean, you can. You're probably just not getting you're probably not getting the oil into the muscle.
Let me give a very obvious, and this, you know, a lot of people listening are going to go, well, duh, but maybe he's not doing this. It is vitally important that when you're done with a shot and you pull the pin out, that you apply pressure so that, because some people don't, and it's analogous to basically making a hole in the muscle that oil and or blood can leak out of the muscle and will end up in between, you know, basically in the subcutaneous layer. You need to apply pressure, you know, and I've done this for years religiously. You know, you apply pressure, decent pressure, and I even massage a little bit until I feel like there's no blood, there's no nothing. And then it's almost as if, and it's an oversimplification, but it's almost like the hole has sealed up and is not as likely to allow the oil to come out. The other thing is, if you're hitting the exact same spot, either in the delt or any other muscle group, if you build up scar tissue, it's more likely that you're going to have leakage as well. Hmm. So there needs to be pressure. So if you're just pulling out the pin and you're like, oh yeah, it's a little blood, I wiped it and I'm off, then that's going to make you more likely that you're going to have, I call them seepers. And it's funny because the closer I get to, this is in the past, but the closer I get to shows, like the last couple weeks, I have to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
Because I have shots that seep. It's the weirdest thing. Maybe they seep more than I think they do prior to the couple weeks before a show, but I notice it. And when you're real, real lean like that, I remember going on stage one time and almost my entire shoulder will seep. And if you put it in your shoulder and it's voluminous, there's the word again for you, Scott.
Thank you.
It can end up down to your fucking elbow.
Whew.
And it makes the skin all thick and you're going to lose detail through your brachialis, through your tricep, outer head, and your delt. And it is, I mean, you might as well be fat at that point. Hmm. And it will stand out. When you're retardedly lean on stage, it will be noticed.
I've had that happen.
Yep.
I've had that happen, and I think I've had what he's talking about happen, where it's almost like at the injection site, in especially like something like the delt, it seems like it seeps back, and then there's like a little, like a, it almost looks like a mosquito bite right around the shot. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. And I think you need to move those around. You know, people tend to hit their side delt, smack in the side of their delt. I kind of section off, this is just personally what I do, I section off the side delt into basically three areas. Hmm. Front of the side delt, side of the side delt, and rear part of the side delt. And I used to have my wife give me shots in my rear delts because they're always been a lagging body part of mine. And, you know, any swelling or any fluid I could get in there would help to bring, you know, the size of that muscle up, even if it was just a couple cc's.
Yeah.
The other thing I do, too, that I recommend to people, and I'm not a lover of shots. I've been, you know, doing gear for years and years and years, and I still do not enjoy shots. It's not like they're painful. I just don't like them. It's not something I get, you know, people say, oh, I just love, yeah, whatever. If you love giving yourself shots, you got something wrong with you.
Or you haven't been doing it that long.
Yeah, exactly. It's just something that, you know, I'm just not a big fan of. But what I do is I will split my dosing left and right side. So if I hit my delt, I don't hit one delt. If I hit a quad, I don't hit one quad. I hit them both. I split the dosing up. Even if it's only 4 mil or 3 mil, it's going to be 1.5 in the left, 1.5 in the right.
Yeah.
That way there's not any type of imbalance or tightness from one side to the other. And I came to that primarily because I went ventrogluteal once and I was tight in my hip and I thought I'd worked it out before I had started legs. And then I ended up injuring my lower back. Now, I may have injured it anyway, but when you're tight on one side, and especially when you have a vulnerability like a lower back and you're tight in a hip flexor or in your quad or something, it could potentially set you up for an injury.
You can also use what I used for years, was the brush your teeth technique.
Hmm?
So inject it into your delt just leave the pin in there all the way in, and then use your other arm and brush your teeth in the morning and just let it sit there. And then take it out after you're done brushing your teeth. I did it for the longest time.
Seriously?
Yeah. So I just, it just sits there and it just stays. It's not going to fall out. And then once I'm done brushing my teeth, I just take it out.
Hmm. What the hell benefit would that be?
Well, that you don't get any seepers.
Oh, okay.
I see.
But I will say, if you have the guy has a knot, don't go massage it. Don't do anything. Don't try to work it out, because if it is a sterile abscess and you bust it open, believe me, you will be.
That's a good point.
You'll be going to the outpatient surgery.
Yeah.
All right. We got two more. Let's knock through them pretty quick. And then we'll get to the contest. This is from Derek. He says, is taking something like metformin while on DMP a bad idea? Maybe during fasted cardio, with the body wasting so much incoming energy as heat. Sounds like a recipe to go hypo, but what do you guys think?
This do is not take metformin on DMP. Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Just easy enough, huh? Just don't even address it.
Don't even go
there. Okay.
Yep.
Derek, there you go. Next question is from Deca Beats. He says, hey guys, so my bloods show that my test level is in the low 100s. First of all, I'm sorry, brother. I'm starting TRT in a week, and I'm looking to bring test levels up to optimal range. What is the optimal test level range? Well, we can tell him that. He says, this way I know where I need to be and dosage per every 10 days that I need to take to stay there. Well, the range is what, guys? It's 300 to 1200?
Yeah, I say 1199 is beautiful.
Okay. That's where you'd want to be, right at that top
end. I think so.
Yeah.
If they give such a broad range, you know, doctors like to keep you in the 500 to 600. Fuck that. If the normal range or the accepted range tops out at 1200, then put me at 1199. And if your doctor won't, find a new doctor. That's how I feel strongly about that.
Yeah, I would 10 days. I would go every. Well, I would do. If I was him, I would do 50 milligrams on Monday and Thursday.
50.
But at worst, do 100 on every 7 days. 10 days, I wouldn't stretch it out that far.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to get you to 1200 though.
Yeah, but I mean, trust me, I've been below 100. I mean, everyone's going to vary too. And actually, sure, total testosterone is not the number you really want anyway.
Well, I'd agree with that. Yeah,
bioavailable free testosterone. But, you know, I mean, FDA approved, the most you're going to get is 200 a week. 200 a week puts me at, you know, close to, you know, up there in the top. I've gotten the Mr. Scott, we need to talk about your dosing because it's getting over the range.
Yeah, but I thought you said 50 twice a week.
Well, I like to spread it out.
You know, yeah, but I'm just saying, well, 100 mg isn't going to get a week, isn't going to get you to 1200, right?
It depends on the person. It may, but I doubt it. Probably put you in the sevens.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
But
too.
If you're at 100, you're going to feel a hell of a lot better at 700 or 800 than you are at 100.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know what his objective is. I mean,
well, it's to get
healed. They will give you the lecture if you go over and you were prescribed it. You're going to start getting we need to look at this dose. If you start scoring out of range, even though it's FDA approved.
I wonder if he's doing this on his own, because he's asking us what the range is.
Right.
I just do 100 on Monday, or split it between Monday and Thursday. I'd start there. I wouldn't jump like a 200 or 300.
How long would you wait then, Scott? You do the 100 a week, we'll say. That's your thought. Maybe split it 50, you know, two times a week. How long would you wait before you got your labs done to test?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. All right.
For the record, I would go 100 twice a week. That's just me. I'm not trying to contradict what Scott's saying, but
no.
I just think if you want to get higher, and he's right, everybody's different, and total testosterone doesn't mean anything or what free testosterone does, but I think that for the majority, at least in with my experience, it's usually going to take 200 meg to get most people to that 1200 level.
And then when he gets labs, he needs to wait. Don't, like, get labs 2 days after you pin because they're going to be elevated. You need to wait about 7 days, you know, to get an accurate, more accurate number.
Fair enough. All right, guys, so we are out of questions. That was all of them. Once again, I really appreciate everybody who submitted questions. We've got 2 weeks before the next show, so think of some stuff. Submit your questions. Once again, that's over at forum.advicesradio.com. Plus, it's just cool to see people participating and being part of the show. I think it makes for a much better program the more participation we have. So this is a lot of fun. I want to keep doing what we're doing. And with that said, let's get to the contest. So I am going to pick a name here. What I did was I just wrote all the names onto a sheet of paper, and then I cut them up into little squares, and I put them into my Mini Cooper baseball cap, and I'm going to randomly draw one out, and gotta mix them up here.
He's going to pick his boyfriend's name.
It's a Mini Cooper hat. Can't be very big.
All right, and we've got a winner. Feeling Fantastic. It's Feeling Fantastic from Instagram. Hit me up, brother. Send me your address, and I am going to send you a t-shirt. We've got, like I said, we've got t-shirts in all sizes. They're a nice tri-blend, really cool athletic shirt, good cut, kind of tight on the biceps, makes you look big in the gym even when you're not, which helps me. We've got the ladies' racer backs, which you won't be needing, and we have tank tops in most sizes still. So I wish I could give shirts out to everybody, but obviously that would be really expensive and I can't do that. So
we'll I can't even get a free t-shirt. Goddamn.
Hey, you've got one.
That's true. I want another one.
I've never seen the first one.
I want a women's Razorback so I look bigger in it.
I'll send one to Mrs. Skip if she wants it.
She's not training. She's drinking right now.
Send her one.
Not a good idea. Yeah, send her one. Exactly.
All right. Well, let's do this again. Let's do another contest in the future. I think it'll be fun. We'll have to think of another good contest to have. And we've had a decently long show. Plus, the guys listening at home don't know. We were on the line for 45 minutes before we actually started.
Which is typical.
Yes. And it means I've got to eat. It's been like 3 hours here.
Yeah. I know. I'm like looking at the clock. I got to eat.
We know Skip's dieting.
That's right.
Scott, what do you got going on today?
I got to go do some work, and I'm going to post up some of Skip's featherweight pictures for inspiration. not much, just same old, really.
Right on. Skip, how about yourself? What do you, you said you got to go train tonight. What are you training?
Heading to Titan, got to hit legs. Last day of the second rotation, I'm going to push to Sunday to load, going to a boat show on Saturday in Sarasota.
Huh.
So that's going to be, that's going to be nice.
Interesting.
Yeah. I know, right?
You did make a comment. You said, I don't want to buy GH because I want to be able to buy things like a boat.
You know, it's funny because I'm not a boat guy, but since we've been down here, I'm looking at it going, man, I'm not riding much.
Yeah.
I wonder. So we're going to check it out. It'll be fun. The only part that won't be fun is it'll be the end of my third rotation. I will stay up all night because I'll train late that night, and we have to leave at 6 a.m. because it's a three-hour drive to Sarasota. I'm going to walk around this fucking boat show all day after doing legs, three rotations, dieting, and not sleeping.
Here's what's going to happen, though. You're going to get to that boat show, and you're going to get so high on the idea of buying a boat that you're not going to care.
I'm excited, to be honest with you. And my wife is the pusher of all this.
Really? She wants the boat. Good for drinking on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not for training, but certainly for drinking and entertaining. Yeah, you know, it's just something we're looking into. Obviously, we need to, first things first, we need to find a home or a condo down here on the beach. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do there, but we're in the early stages, but we're looking into it, seeing what, you know, X amount of money will get us and what we can get, just understanding the process because we know very little about it. So it'll be fun.
No kidding.
I sense the midlife crisis is coming.
Kind of.
Isn't it a little late for that? I thought that you had the midlife crises around like my age. Like,
you know what? It's just an ongoing issue for me. Every few years. Now, you know what? We're weird like that, though, in that Melissa and I have constants where, you know, we're on the same page 99% of the time, but we do change things up every few years. If we don't move, we are doing something different, some activity or something different. So this is just so predictable that people close to me laughed and said they're not surprised. So we may get into this boat phase. Who knows?
I'm not surprised at all. Like, it makes total sense to me.
Yeah, especially being down here. Shit.
Do you realize?
I mean, if you'd have bought a yellow Corvette, then you would have definitely.
Right. But, yeah. Right, red, yeah. Yeah.
Scott, do you realize how tan Skip is going to be once he has a boat? Like, that's going to be ridiculous. It already is ridiculous.
I get tanner than Skip.
Without the Melania tan?
Yeah, I mean, tan fat looks better than white fat.
All right, guys. Well, this has been another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Go to advancedtrainingtech.com. Check out S2H. Go to teamskip.com and get a hold of Skip. Just give him some shit. He needs it. He's got nothing better to do. He's dieting. Get under his skin. Do it for me. All right, guys. We are out of here. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Out.
Right then, I knew I had to smoke his ass. He kept rolling, I jumped in the bucket. We couldn't catch him, so I said fuck it. Then we headed right back to the fort, sweating all the bitches in the biker shorts. We didn't get no play from the ladies. With 6 niggas in a car, are you crazy? She was scared and it was showing. We all said fuck you bitch and kept going to the hood.
Advices Radio Network.